kinds of improper relationships. Remember, our Lord is dealing with relationships here. And by the way, as with last week when we dealt with our Lord's teaching on desire, we want to be true to the Scriptures here. We want to be direct as the Lord is direct, but we also want to be discreet as our Lord is discreet. Our Lord does not go about just slathering things up so that people go, ooh. We're going to labor to be direct and discreet as we were last week and week after week. Leviticus 18 speaks of all kinds of improper relationships, things that one ought not to do, things that are to be preserved, kept private, reserved for another, a particular relationship. Matter of fact, Leviticus 18 even begins with this. It uses the word devar, which is, remember, it's a thing or a word or a statement of nakedness. Devar can also be a verb. Say this to the children of Israel. Leviticus 18:2 opens up with the words devar. Say this, speak this way. I've got a word for the children of Israel. I've got a word for my people, and I need to speak to them directly and with discretion. And for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. They are to be holy, for I am holy. And our Lord, the Lord then in his law goes through these various relationships. You're not to do this, and you're not to do that. There's a reservation and a preservation. Don't act like the other nations. You are a distinctive people. You are supposed to keep my ordinances, my judgments, my ways. You are to live by them. What does our Lord do in the Sermon on the Mount? You are to teach and do. You are to hear and build. Don't say, oh, we can't do that. We're to live in a certain way. Leviticus 18 deals with relations of sexuality, various interactions. And it's as if our Lord is saying this. These may be things that other people do, and I will be removing them from the land because of it. Be sure you don't go there. I am the Lord your God. You want to see a devastation come upon a people? Watch the laxness and the elasticity of that which pertains to relationships. And our Lord will dim the lights. That's what you want? Lights will go out, and a people will be removed. You want to see a lampstand snuffed out? Psst. Go that way. Want to mess around this way in your relationships? The Lord has a way of saying, done. You're getting ready to enter the land. You're getting ready to enter the land of Canaan. There are certain things that go on in that land. I want you to walk in and to be a distinctive people. Do not do it simply because they say to do it. Young men and young women, simply because everyone is doing it. Don't do that. Irva Devar. Deuteronomy 24 goes on, there was some orderly course to follow, a certificate, a writing of divorcement was to be given, and then the divorce would be finalized. Deuteronomy 24 actually considers the possibility of remarriage, for if the person divorced leaves that marriage and then goes and gets married to someone else, and then gets divorced from that second marriage, they're not to turn back to the first situation. Don't go there. Now remember, our Lord's words are brief here. We're going to be brief. The dissolving of the marriage bond was not a shock to the Lord of glory. As we go through the Gospel of Matthew, we will see that our Lord is actually referring to his own people, the people who rejected his son, as being a people who are saying, you know what, I don't want anything to do with the Messiah. I'd rather be unfaithful. I'd rather be out there under the trees. I'd rather be a harlot. And our Lord is going to refer to the people. But right now he's speaking of his people. You don't behave this way. These words in Deuteronomy 24 are not to be taken as, again, a loophole. As, hey, I've got permission. Deuteronomy 24 is not a free pass. You know, go ahead, seal it. Deuteronomy 24 is not a simple path to walk. I'm going to go out and walk on that path. Our Lord's words are blunt. You have heard it said? We're going to talk about that. As if all that is lacking is the paperwork. By the way, Deuteronomy 24, and our Lord picks it up in Matthew chapter 5, and He'll pick it up again in Matthew chapter 19. You know what He's striking at? He's striking at our tendency for convenient citations of the Bible. Hey, I'm being biblical. Look, it says it right there in the Bible. That's all I needed to do. I found something that I really didn't care about. Oh no, there's an entire, there's a lot of cargo with that. That Irvath Navar, that statement of impropriety. This is not a convenient citation approach. Matter of fact, our own Westminster Confession of Faith has a chapter called Marriage and Divorce. And in one of the statements there, it refers to the heart of mankind. Listen to what it says. Although the corruption of man be such as is apt to study arguments unduly, to put asunder those whom God hath joined together in marriage. There's a tendency for us to study, is this okay? And is this okay? What about this? How about this? Oh, if there was a class in Bible college or seminary on divorce, would a semester be enough? Oh, but there's this, and then there's, it's like the variations of a fingerprint. Divorce was popular in Jesus' day, and it's likely that everyone who was hearing him knew someone who was divorced, or that divorce had occurred somewhere in their family. Oh yes, there were approaches to divorce then as there are now. Some people, it's very difficult. Other people, yeah, whatever, just fill out the paperwork. Today, we call it no-fault divorce. We're not going to, no blame. No. There's the first sentence. There's the first verse. Furthermore, it has been said. What's the second sentence? Our Lord, and I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except porneia, translated sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries her commits adultery. It's clear, isn't it? It's called Matthew's exception by the theologians. It sounds like our Lord is upholding his own law. I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except for this causes her, leads her, promotes her, points her toward adultery, and if someone marries her, he commits adultery. He does present this exception. And it sounds a lot like Deuteronomy 24, that Irvah Davar, that something very impure, inappropriate, of an intimate, relational bit. But our Lord's words are clear. Walk through them. Whoever divorces his wife, except for, unless there is porneia. Whoever divorces his wife cuts the marriage, breaks it off, and sends her away. Whoever divorces his wife, unless there's that in there. And then it is presumed, as in Deuteronomy 24, that she would remarry. You're free. Go, get out of here. Please, go and bless me also. Go. It's assumed she would get remarried. And if she does, remember, she shouldn't have been divorced if that wasn't the case. She's now committing adultery. And then some fella comes along and says, hey, how you doing? Are you free? Yeah, I'm divorced. Hey. He then commits adultery. Remember, our Lord is being direct and blunt here. Our Lord is addressing the casual, It's entirely up to me approach to marriage. Our Lord is slicing through our tendency to study so as to set aside what our Lord says to do and to be. Oh, and when it comes to us, we always have a good reason. Always. Our Lord instituted marriage, and marriage is larger than the two of you. Imagine the people hearing this rabbi. Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, I have heard that it was said that, that's what we did. What? You adultery? Our Lord instituted marriage, and marriage is larger than the two of you. You have entered it. Oh, and those who are in this congregation that have gone through premarital, you've heard me over and over speak of the people. You know what? This is our day. This is our... Well, in a sense, it is your day, your wedding, in the sense that it is something you're entering, but the marriage is larger than you. It's not all about you. This is not the bride's big day or the groom's big day. There's something greater here. You have entered it. The terms are set by the Lord. You are not to say, I'm in, I'm out. I started, I can quit. I entered, I can exit. Our Lord challenges all of our disposable attitudes. Here it is. Hey, the casual and the flippant way of dealing with marriage. It was present then, and it's present now. There, those are our Lord's words. Oh yes, he teaches more on this later on in his ministry. But we need to hear this first. Have we played games? Oh, what about the heart adultery? What about the heart divorce? You know what? I've had it. Five simple points in conclusion today. Five simple points. Ready? If this casual approach to marriage is present among us, by the way, remember something? The book of Hebrews said, let marriage be held in honor by all. Single, those who are not married, children cannot check out right now. The book of Hebrews says, let marriage be held in honor by all. It didn't say, hey, let marriage be held in honor by those who are married. Children, you're to hold marriage in honor. Your parents' marriage. Marriage is in this congregation. Those of you who long to be married, you think, yeah, I'm of age. Let marriage be held in honor by all. But if this casual approach, this flippant approach to marriage is present among us, and be careful, it may be more present than you want to admit. I didn't know that was on me. It will slam into every other relationship. Now, if you start to see car wrecks all over the freeway, you wonder what started this. Oh, somebody doing this. Somebody texting. Somebody doing something else. We have a casual, flippant approach to marriage. It will slam into every other relationship. A denigration of marriage has led to a denigration of sexuality. We don't even know how to talk about it. It's led to a denigration of children. Huh? It has led to a shallowness in our friendships, not just on social media. And it's led to a breaking apart of our relationships in the church. We don't grow old with one another. It used to be, you know, we got married and we're going to go through everything together. We're going to go through the thick and the thin. We're going to go through the ups and the downs. We're going to be, one of us is going to be sick. Maybe both of us will be sick. We are going to grow old together. Churches used to have cemeteries. But now it's a fragmented day. Just break it off. It's got tough. I understand. There's a readiness to dismiss, to discard, and to dump. If all you need is something that says you're a citizen of the city and you can just go to the dump once a month and just throw out your trash. It's that easy. Pay my taxes, don't I? Haven't I paid enough? Haven't I put up with this long enough? Whoever divorces his wife except for this. It's not just you're sinning in the divorce. You're sinning in the, hey, you know what? Go ahead. This is present in families. This is present in churches because it's present in marriages. Things may become difficult, and then the trigger finger gets a little bit of an itch. Then there's a lashing out, and then there's a loosening. And you know what? Just go, go, go. I don't like the way you did that anyway. Slams into every other relationship. Quick, pull the plug. Number two, there are supposed to be difficulties. There are supposed to be people, oh, what, it was a honeymoon, and it was peaches, cream, loved that. There's supposed to be difficulties. You know what happens? The Lord tests our faith and show His people are shown to be His people by everything He allows them and brings them through. Oh, but you know what? I have my finger on the light switch. Didn't like it. We don't always get our way. You don't always get your way. I don't always get my way. And that's the way it's supposed to be. G.K. Chesterton, in his book, What's Wrong with the World, pointed to the tendency in some circles to go after free love. You know, don't put any binding chains on me. I think it's got to be free love. In opposition, Chesterton says, people are after free love. Don't hold me down. In opposition to the strident, time-tested stability of marriage. And in his typical manner, this is what he wrote. And he's going to use an analogy of not just free-floating marriages and free-floating love and free-floating relationships, but what happens if we try to have a conversation with somebody and someone's free-floating? If we all floated in the air like bubbles, free to drift anywhere at any instant, the practical result would be that no one would have the courage to begin a conversation. It would be embarrassing to start a sentence in a friendly whisper and then to have to shout the last half of it because the other party was floating away into the free and formless ether. We're in a relationship. The two must hold each other to do justice to each other. And then he points to America. If Americans can be divorced for incompatibility of temper, I cannot conceive why they are not all divorced. I have known, and by the way, Chesterton loved his wife. They loved each other. So he comes forward with these. I have known many happy marriages, but never a compatible one. But you know, we grow into compatibility because that's how the Lord shapes us. How many times have we heard this? She is going to be used by the Holy Spirit as the surgical blade for your sanctification. And He will be wielded by the Holy Spirit as the surgical blade for her. You, dear, your sanctification. We shall grow into compatibility through all of this. So the first, if we have a casual approach to marriage, it will slam into every other relationship. Watch out now when you're young. Number two, there are supposed to be difficulties. Number three, marriage. You know what our Lord is getting at? This is a demonstration of the gospel. Our marriages are demonstrations of the gospel. Here it is. What is the gospel in marriage? Faithfully and tenaciously dwelling with a sinner. That's a demonstration of the gospel. What's the gospel look like? What has the Lord done for you? My Lord loves me still. He is faithful to me, a sinner. You get to do that. I gotta go. Number four. This is a declaration of the gospel. Marriages, and this is why marriage is to be held in honor by all. Marriage is a declaration of the gospel. It's a declaration of Christ and the church. It's a declaration of a wondrous mystery. This tenacity shows something of our Lord's care for, attention to, love for, commitment to His bride. It is our Lord didn't say, you know, I'm going to start with you. I'm done. I'm going to enter, exit. Our Lord hasn't done that. He preserves us so that we may persevere. And what do? we persevere to show that we have been preserved. Fifth and last, what to do? What do we do? First, I need to make a note about something. In all of the previous instances where our Lord is presenting the relationships of the kingdom, he has done this. It has been said, and I say, command. So three things. It has been said, or you have heard. Number two, he says, and I say, then he gives a command. In every one of these other instances. Here, all he does is, you have heard, and I say, and we're going, where's the command? What do I do? Where is it? It's right in front of us. It's almost like walking and saying, where's the gravity? Breathing, where's the air? Seeing in the light, where's the light? These are all connected. Let me try to explain. Our anger, our lusts, our broken words, our retaliation, and our enemy treatment are all, these are the things that our Lord is going to be dealing. We've heard of the anger and the lust. We're now dealing with the divorce here, kind of in the center. But what's coming up next is faithful words, our oaths. What comes after that? Retaliation. What comes after that? Loving your enemy. Every one of those things are used as excuses and defenses for divorce. Every single one of those. Anger. Couldn't stand it any longer because that person wasn't quick about reconciliation. It will just rip the house down. Get about. It's not just that she sinned, it's that you sinned. It's not just that she did it. You. What did you contribute? Instead of sinful lusts. By the way, that's, there you go, right there. People, you know what? It's just, I'm just not attracted to it. It's just not there anymore. It's not happening. So our Lord addresses the sinful lusts. You know what our Lord says? When's the last time you sacrificed yourself? When's the last time you saw a little bit of loss? She's not, no, for me. Oh, you missed that. What about breaking your word? Faithful oaths, what our Lord is going to come up to next. Keeping your word. You said you're going to do it. Where's the promises? You know, I know I said it, but I didn't know he was going to be. But who? What about you? This is the ground we're walking on. Every one of these things can be used as an excuse, but you know, when we start following our Lord's word, where's the command? The command is in every one of these things. Keep your word. What about retaliation? Oh, you know what? I will make that person hurt because this has been horrid for me. No, we don't do that. Go the extra mile. Go, walk. Take it off. Take off the cloak. Here. I don't like the way. Go. Oh, and then our Lord ends with loving your enemies. Ooh. Oh, yeah. We used to be now. Ooh. May the Holy Spirit grant us the tenacity that is appropriate for His honor, and may this be displayed in our every relationship. May we be those who hear our Lord's words and do them. And may everyone here be those who hold marriage in honor. And may we together proclaim Christ and the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you once again for your clear word. Spirit of God, we thank you for your presence in confirming and convicting. May we live lives to your honor, keeping our word, and so show that we belong to Jesus. We pray all of this in his matchless name, and all of God's children said, Amen.